Well, if you're looking for knee-jerk reactions, you've come to the right place. My name is Jarvie, and I'm joined this week by Paddy, Simon and Hammy. Together, we are the Broken Hearts Club Band. Well, for fuck's sake, Hearts. In this podcast, we're going to look back at two defeats from Kilmarnock and Livingston. That sounds terrible saying that out loud. We all know what's on the horizon, potentially. We'll go through transfer deadline day, the summer transfer window in general, looking ahead and all that. But first, Paddy, you were at Easter Road for Hibs Kilmarnock on Saturday. Care to explain yourself?
Scouting mission.
Don't bet, kids. I lost a bet, Nicholas, and then I had to go to Easter Road. It was a horrible experience, to be honest, but thankfully I was drunk enough to not really remember it.
You can certainly vouch for that, seeing you later in the evening, Carrick. Talk us through it. You had to put a Hibs top on, sadly. What was that feeling like? Was that your first time with a Hibs top on?
Yes, and hopefully my last time ever. It will be no more bets from me. No more terrible, terrible bets.
You've just made the same bet.
Yes, but no Saquon Barkley, so it's fine. Whoever picked him, Liam.
Thanks, Hammy. Another previous Easter Road visitor. If you're wondering what we're talking about, Paddy finished last, a terrible 10th in our American football, fantasy football.
I've also won it 2 times. So it balances itself out.
Yeah, but fair play. But you did have an easy ride. You went to quite a quiet pub beforehand. The Artisan sounds like a bakery.
It was full of Cully fans. And I say full, there was about 3.
That's a full house for them. Yeah, you got let off lightly. We took our mate Innes, who lost the bet. We took him to the Hearts St Mirren game, what was it, 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday, kickoff one.
Aye.
And we got tickets in lower section N for it. that's how you're meant to take it. Paddy got let off lightly, but you'll take it, eh, Paddy?
Well, yeah, it did.
The transfer window slammed shut on Friday past, leaving most, ourselves included, frustrated by the lack of activity. Despite all our injuries, on top of a general lack of depth, we only made one loan signing in Stephen Humphreys. What did you make of all of that as deadline day went on?
Obvious.
Aye. We kind of, Robbie said that they were going to be acting a lot quicker and give us all false hope, and aye, it just came to nothing, unsurprisingly.
It's just disappointing, isn't it?
This is the same Robbie Nielsen that said Benny just slipped in the showers and he's never been seen since.
No, he was dancing in the showers after tore his knee to shreds or something. I think on the whole, the transfers we've got in have been good.
Oh, Hammy, we're not here for rational thoughts. Fuck off. Nielsen out.
It's been good, but it's not been enough. It's not been anywhere near enough. And, you know, I don't want to slate them too much because I think the players are good. But I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking we should have been signing players maybe a step up from what we've got. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're bad signings. I would say they're all very good signings, but I do think, you know, the chat in the close season with Savage and Nielsen saying he wants to take us to the next level and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then the transfer window finished on a whimper, really.
I think if everyone's fully fit, it's kind of a different conversation, isn't it? But the fact that these players got injured whilst the window was still open, mm-hmm. felt like we needed to at least bring someone in to cover these injuries.
Yeah.
I still think our team's far from strong enough with regards to depth and quality from the bench. So I think we maybe missed the trick there. I don't know how difficult the transfer window is getting players in. I don't know what's going on in the background and all that, but I don't know. It sort of feels like we missed a chance a bit here. Yeah. Injuries were always going to happen. Suspensions are always going to happen and all that. And I know we every season we seem to go through a fucking injury crisis where we're missing players. And it's just, it's getting a bit annoying now. Same thing every season.
Yeah, definitely. I'm flabbergasted we only made one signing on deadline day, or in the days leading up to it. Absolutely flabbergasted. Only one attacking player brought in. We needed one before Boyce's injury. Then we definitely needed two. And it all seemed very panicky on deadline day, from a fan's perspective it did anyway. Like we had nothing lined up. Absolutely amazed. Here's a list of names which were doing the rounds, which were kind of reasonably realistic, you'd say. Mikey Johnson, his name came up a good few weeks ago, but it came up again. His loan deal to the Portuguese hadn't quite been confirmed, which had us wondering. Again, that would have been an ideal signing. Someone out wide, Barry Mackay could have then came in inside. Christian Ramirez, who it very much seems that he wanted to leave, but Jim Goodwin blocked it, didn't want him to go to a rival. Alex Lowry from Rangers on loan, not sure how real that one was, but there was speculation.
That would be pretty good, eh?
Would have been brilliant, aye. It's one of those where you can see it. You
know what I mean? Aye.
But you get a lot of Hearts fans unhappy, saying, well, we don't want to develop players for the old firm.
You're going to fucking do it anyway.
Every player we have now is currently developing a player for the old firm. Kevin Van Veen, just loads of Hearts fans wanted us to sign him. It was never going to happen. James Hill from Bournemouth, a defender, was the only defensive player linked with us on the day, which again is bizarre that we weren't looking to bring in another defensive player. Bill from Whitby FC. Lewis Moult, who I'm convinced we were going to sign Lewis Moult until the PR team seen the reaction to the rumours.
an Arnautovic situation.
It's an absolute no-go on Hearts. Joel Nubley, wondered if that was just lined up all along and he was coming in on deadline day, to be honest, but nope.
And then he fucking tore us apart.
Absolutely annihilated our defence at the weekend. Connor Ronan, he's still at Wolves. He seems to be sticking around in that squad, but I'd say watch this space on that one. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a wee deal in for Ronan on loan. But
when does the loan market finish for us?
Someone can confirm it. It's normally like the end of September sometime, isn't it?
So there's still an opportunity to be disappointed.
Same with Elliot Anderson at Newcastle, but he's coming off the bench in that now. Can I see it? I think we've lost some appeal by not qualifying for the Europa in hindsight.
I think it's always going to be easier to attract players if you've got Europa League football over Conference League. That's just, like, obviously.
Yeah, I wonder, for loans especially. And Paddy, sadly, Mario Balotelli punched his manager or something at his Turkish club. And the very next day, he didn't move to Hearts, he moved to Sion in Switzerland, didn't he?
Yeah.
Are they in Europe, Paddy?
I don't know, I don't think so.
Sion, by the way. Kyle Lafferty played there, and Jaquim Adale. That was us. The club just must love nutcases. Sounds quality.
So they're about our level then. So we could, like, realistically, we could have got them in.
They're not in Europe, so.
Oh.
We are technically better.
Than the coffee's at.
Balotelli is coming down. We're on the way up.
There's going to be a level at which we're the same, and it's just going to make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame, because see if the stars aligned, if the timelines it came together, Balotelli 100% would have been a Romanov signing.
Oh man,
gutted. Paddy, we can of course sign free agents, and we will come on to speak about Xander Clark in just a moment, but you've been having a look at what free agents are out there, who Hearts could potentially be looking at. Since we're moving on to free agents,
we're not going to sign any of them.
So, guys, here's just a list of free agent footballers.
I mean, there was a thing going around on Kickback, I believe, in a section of Kickback, a dark, dark section that wanted Ross Barkley. But
yes,
he was on £200,000 a week at Chelsea, so I'm not sure that fits within our budget.
That's insane money, eh?
It's for somebody that played about 5 games for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason, we do need a centre-back, and Jason Denier is free at the moment. Knows the Scottish League as well, having played with Celtic.
Yeah.
Where did he just leave?
Leon, so he's probably on massive money.
He'll just be on 100 grand a week then.
We have just missed out on Diego Costa. That's not going to happen.
Oh, that would have been good. Wolves.
And then, would they want anybody else on this list, to be honest?
Ben Arfa. Rogic gets talked a lot about.
I have seen that
would be incredible, because he is a great player, but there is not a hope in hell. If he was going to come and play back in Scotland, he would obviously just go to Celtic.
Aye.
And he would go right into their team.
To move on. He wanted to move on, apparently.
Apparently he wanted to move home as well. And
well, you've got, what, Hearts 3 or 4 Australians?
Yeah. You can move to Edinburgh, Paddy.
It might be a wee bit closer to Australia, I think.
Aye.
But apparently Rogic was on somewhere between like 12 and 15 grand a week. Not a million miles away. And yeah, we've got the Australians here. He needs to move to a club and get regular football ahead of the World Cup. But you're just wondering, how is he not moved to a team in like Saudi Arabia and getting paid 30 grand a week? How has that not happened for him?
Because I'm sure you could probably get a direct flight for Saudi Arabia to Australia as well.
Aye, like there's loads of holidays go over there. Yeah. Weird, but I'm still saying we're going to sign him. Be monitoring it closely. Robert Snodgrass is another free agent shout.
No.
Oh, he would surely improve our team. He was playing in the Premier League last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was he not in the Championship last season, the Scottish Championship?
I'm thinking of
they are definitely the same player.
Aye, they're very similar players.
I was like, what? I was like, what did I miss?
Apparently Motherwell's offered him a contract, which he hasn't like accepted or declined. They offered him that weeks ago now. So it sounds like he's waiting for a better offer to come up.
He was at your favourite club briefly last season, Luton.
It's disgusting. So, dark mark on his record. I'd forgive him. We just need anyone in.
Aye, we do. I still feel like we're 2 or 3 players short. And now we're past the deadline for Europe. So the squad we have is the one that we're going to play in. Fiorentina, who narrowly missed out on beating Juventus at the weekend.
Yeah, and Istanbul, who haven't lost a game since March or something like that. I was reading this yesterday. It wasn't yesterday. I was reading that. Fuck, my hangover was far too bad. Must have been last week. Looking forward to this.
We have signed some good free agents in the past. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I'm clinging on to at the moment. But
exactly. Barry McKay and Stephen Kingsley, free agents. So there's going to be gems out there, and I'm sure Savage is all over them and speaking to them as we speak. We can still make up to 5 signings by the end of September, I'm going to say. In my dreams, maybe. Serious question for you. Say Tom Rogic does pick up the phone and he's interested. It's 10 grand a week. It's £3,000 more a week than our highest earner. You bring in a player of that quality and you bring them in as the highest earner and you're just telling your squad to just accept it because they know he's a high caliber player. Where do you stand on it?
I don't care.
Is he that much better though than like say Barry Mackay?
Than Barry Mackay, I mean, I don't want to say Rogic is a better player than Barry Mackay, but maybe. Well, I mean, on his day, he was very good last season as well. He's kind of overcame his injuries and stuff. But not to home in on him in particular, but say, you know, a good marquee signing.
But to hone on him in particular, would you give 10 grand a week to Rogic?
Me personally, yeah. Because we've got the money because we're not spending it on no one else. bring him in on a short term, or even a 1-year deal.
Those tellies weren't cheap, mate. Even a second hand, they are big.
So you're saying if a free agent came up, a marquee signing, you would still expect the club to be turning that down, these opportunities, and sticking to the structure?
I mean, they're going to do that, but also a free agent's going to want more money anyway because you're not paying a fee for them.
Yeah, but they're also unemployed. I don't know. That's I guess these are the gritty details which Savage and Nielsen get paid the big bucks for. They keep the squad happy. I totally get that, but I just feel like we need some quality in the squad now. Especially, we'll come on to speak about the new signing. I mean, it looks effectively like we still only have Lauren Shankland. That's going to be playing at a high level for us, let's face it.
Josh Ginelli?
still consider Ginelli as a wide man, but I do appreciate that he's been having to come on.
You know what's been the most genius thing Nielsen's been doing? Playing Ginelli up front and playing Shankland as the 10. Perfect.
Right, that's the highest earners thing. Just wonder. But you're right, Paddy. He's not going to break the structure. But we've got to spend this European money on someone. I've noticed it at Tynecastle against Kilmarnock that now the general waste bins through the concourses have been upgraded. So that's new bins, light show, screens, turnstiles. Like, there's nothing left to upgrade.
Were those photos of the new turnstiles? Was that for the wheat field?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, are you excited?
I am. I'm simply buzzing. I can't wait.
It works really well. It works so much better than the barcodes, the QR code. Yeah, but it does. People still struggle, like.
Or Cameron. Aye, I'm looking forward to seeing them. But yeah, we have the money there. Unless fucking the deals have been shocking on these bins. But yeah, Stevie Humphries was our eighth summer signing. And he joined, well, Xander Clark joined him, becoming our ninth just the day later as a free agent. How excited are you about that signing? Scotland's 1 and 2 at the club now. And tell me how much rotation you're expecting to see between the two of them.
Yeah. I don't want to bring it on and say that it's true, but is this kind of the beginning of the end for Craigie G?
I think so, yeah. This is the long-term replacement plan.
Aye. I think maybe he plays league games after European ties. I think that's when they first bring him in.
Xander Clark gets the Sunday games.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Yep, can totally see
sort
that.
Of the way Rangers did with Shaga and John McLaughlin.
Yep, could totally see that. That's a fantastic player. That's I can't believe we've actually done it.
I know, he is great.
Cheesy must be raging, hey? He finally had a good game for us, and that's when they've replaced him.
We all love Cheesy now. He's completely switched it around. Mm-hmm. But I think he can be happy with how his Hearts career's ended up. if it ended pretty soon, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I am happy for him that he's going to go out on a high.
Aye. You'll be remembered fondly now instead of Joel Pereira.
Aye, definitely. Exactly. And I'd imagine he'll get a full season playing for the Colts team now as well.
Does he just go straight in, Jink?
I don't see why not. I mean, but I guess Harry Stone's playing there. I guess now you loan out Harry Stone and you put Cheesy in the B squad. Yeah, there's something that will happen.
Aye.
But I'm excited for it. Nice to have some depth in one position at least. And the one position, we've famously been strong in as the goalkeeping department, but that's arguably the strongest we've ever been there.
Aye.
No, there was a period where we were pretty fucking shaky at the back, maybe like the last 3 years.
Like, that's true. I mean, the Jack Hamilton period. That was
Joel Pereira.
Yeah, I guess there has been. But other than those two spells, we've not.
His name already. Bobby's Lamal.
We had Ross Stewart, Bobby's Lamal, and Joel Pereira.
That's true when you think of it like that. You know, I've got in my head like we've always been top tier goalie talent, not recently. But yeah, Xander Clark, happy days. So to summarise our whole summer transfer window then, I think this is this looks like chronological order. Lewis Nielsen came in from Dundee United for fuck all, much to their despair. Now that he's breaking into the first team, we're delighted with that signing, by the looks of it.
This is like a younger, touchwood, less injury-prone John Souter, eh? It just kind of feels like we've the exact same situation.
Yeah.
Well, probably slightly less of a traitor as well, but...
Yeah. He's one of those players that's exciting because you don't know where their ceiling is. So much potential in there.
Aye. If you feel like if he gets it right, he could be a very good player.
Yeah, yeah. Really like the look of him. Alan Forrest came in from Livingston. You've got to say there's been more positives than negatives from what we've seen so far.
Anki's in our first 11.
Yeah, he must be at the moment, if he's fit. But wouldn't it be hard if he's fit to be in our starting 11?
Yeah, when everyone's fit.
Alex Cochran, one of the man of the moment, pretty much. Signing permanently for, I think it was like a nominal fee, or it was free, from Brighton. After his loan spell last year. Again, obviously that's a great signing for us by the looks of it. Again, continuing on and improving. Kai Rolls came in from some Australian club.
Central Coast Mariners, I think it was.
It was.
Oh yeah, same team as Bozanic, wasn't it?
Yes.
Again, you don't know what his ceiling is, eh? He's looking fantastic. Hopefully he comes back from his injuries.
He's an odd shaped guy. He looks like a character out of like Recess or something like that. Like, he looks like a cartoon character from an American movie show. I love him. I think he's a great player. I think he is really good. But he is odd shaped.
That's funny. George Grant from Peterborough. What's your thoughts on Grant so far?
Decent player.
Yeah. Just needs to be a bit more consistent, and I think he could be a really good player for us.
Yeah, that's more positive than I was expecting. Lauren Shankland came in from some Belgian outfit.
Still know about himself.
All know about Mr. Shankland. And Oratis, Keo, Mert, Zo, Goglu. He's going to start on Thursday, isn't he?
Destined to fail.
He's still not got a work permit, so can't actually play yet.
Can he not play in Europe? Or can he only play in the games in Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think he needs to be registered though, so I'm not sure if he's allowed to be in the squad.
My understanding is he's registered for Europe. He can play in Europe. He just can't play in our domestic league.
Brexit working its magic again.
But he'll be starting on Thursday.
God, what a fucking waste of time is it all?
What, Brexit?
Just everything. Like, everything. Just to let the man kick a ball.
I know.
He's fucking like, playing football, eh?
Leave football alone, eh?
Aye.
But yeah, those signings, along with Humphreys, who I guess we'll come on to with Livingston game, and Xander Clark. And Gnonto finally left Zurich for Leeds. See, we don't always
just in time.
Don't always talk shite about transfer business. Told you that was coming months ago. But yeah, so general overview of the window. How many signings? Yeah, 9 signings, including Clark. Then, and you've got to be happy with the quality that has been brought in overall. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Aye.
Yep. Just need more. That was 9 in. And those that went out, just to compare the kind of squad quality, those that left at the start of the summer, John Souter was pish. Jamie Walker went to Bradford to end the contract. Popescu, who cares where he went? Jamie Brandon went to Livingston. McInniff moved to Australia. Loic Demure went to that weird French team. And 2 players went on loan to Kelly Hearts, Cammy Logan and Scott McGill. So there is a big step up in general squad quality. It's just you get thin as fuck with an injury outbreak, don't you?
Yeah, and it's not like you can go, oh, well, look at the injuries. It's players who kind of have a history of being injured.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's true.
Yous have kept either Walker or McInniff.
I mean, hindsight's 2020. We now probably didn't need either of them, but it would be good to have them now.
I think there would have been no harm in keeping McInniff for this season. No harm at all.
Did he want to stay though?
Yeah. Was he playing enough football to want to stay? I'm not sure. But he would have been playing now.
I don't think he would. It's not really the positions. We've always had like 2 starting centre mids that I've been pretty comfortable with, to be honest.
George Grant is literally playing the McInniff role.
I think he plays it better than him.
Yeah, I think they're quite similar players. But I think there would have been no harm in him being a squad player. But like you say, he probably wanted to go and play week in, week out. So Jamie Walker, nah, probably not. Leave the legacy as it is. He'll come back next year anyway. Next transfer window.
When win the championship, aye.
Oh, God. Right, before we speak about actual games of football, some brief bits of news. Foundation Hearts surpassed £14 million in pledges in the past week. More money we won't spend on players. When Humphreys joined, there was lots of nice tweets from Wigan supporters saying that he's a good player, blah, blah. But there was lots of my nan would come up there and score 50 goals comments as well. So let's just make this clear. And I cannot stress this enough, that Wigan are tin pot.
What league are they in?
Championship.
Or is it the championship?
Somewhere thereabouts.
I've seen that we have a higher turnover than them last year. And we're also in a European competition, yeah.
I'm surprised we've got a higher turnover because you can like see... like
I know League One.
Yeah. Like you look at Luton Town, if you were to show like an American that doesn't know football, Luton Town's like stadium in the little town, shitty town, and show them Tynecastle in Edinburgh, you would never think that Luton Town are spending like £20,000 a week on players, would you?
Wigan are in the championship, and funnily enough, they just beat Luton Town 2-1 last weekend.
Oh, wow. Stars have aligned. But yeah,
the Wigan. Tin pot derby.
Maybe what I seen was shite then, because surely a team in the championship is making more money than Hearts, eh? Just on like TV money alone. Oh,
I think 100%. They were just promoted, I believe. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, terrible little football club. And yes, well remember the Martinez era FA Cup finals and that. Still a very small club. a wee game for you. Hopefully you didn't see this stat in the last couple of days, but Ewan Henderson's just made his 50th appearance for Hearts, which is crazy. So how many starts do you think he has had for Hearts, boys?
33 substitute appearances and 17 starts, I think.
Why good guess, Paddy. Good guess, Paddy.
You just ruined it, Paddy. Absolutely ruined it. Colts team news. The Colts have played twice since last recording. Another two defeats. Bed sheets out. 3-2 defeat by Edu Sport Academy. Fuck knows. More goals from Jaden Ferguson, scored two of them. And a defeat by Cumbernauld Colts, a goal from Leo Watson. Bobby McLucky chipped him with another two man of the match performances, I believe.
Sources have confirmed.
Just been confirmed that it was two man of the match performances. Incredible form. Cut the Kilmarnock game. I've been trying to delay it as long as possible, boys. But Simon, cast your mind back. There was four changes made to that starting 11.
Who fucking cares, eh? I swear to God, though, what a fucking waste of a night.
I had the worst time ever. It was just terrible.
What was it? Two shots on target or something I read?
I can only remember one shot on target.
Joe Wright having an absolute screamer against us. What really annoyed me is how long we kept the five at the back. You could just see we were not able to advance the ball forward at all. And yet he stuck with it even though we were losing from like the 20th minute. We never looked like scoring once.
Yeah. It was dreadful. Yeah, I've took some vague notes because I didn't want to watch this match or anything. But at halftime, looking from Wheatfield over to the dugouts, Liam Boyce fell down the bloody stairs on his
and ahead of the ball. He tried to head of the ball.
Yeah.
The ball came into the stand. That was the best part of the night.
That was the first note I took. I also saw multiple people saying that the kebab pie was particularly nice that day. That's another thing that's been upgraded. We've even upgraded the kebab pies.
They are so good, though.
Simply delicious. Also, the famous Kilmarnock pie shaggers were in attendance, so maybe we were trying to just impress them.
Aye, the chefs.
The civic player booze. We spoke about this last week, saying that it's never acceptable to boo an individual player. Could you hear them from over your side?
Aye, there was a guy near us who booed, and honestly, it's awful, awful part. I completely understand maybe booing at half time or booing at full time if the team has been particularly bad.
Yeah.
But I would, like you said, you never single out a player. There's absolutely nothing to gain for doing that. Let the team know you're unhappy with them, but you always want to support individual players.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. On a more serious kind of tactical question on this game then. So we apparently had eight shots, but I can only remember two. The Forest one, which ended up in the Kilmarnock fans. The one genuinely decent chance, beautiful cross into the box from Halliday, but Shanklin caught his header almost too sweet. Just perfect, and went in, hit right at the keeper. We just looked very clueless, didn't we? And Kilmarnock are such a physical side, and we just looked so small compared to them. Probably one of the reasons Humphreys was signed. We just never looked like we had a chance in hell. We could have played that game for a week.
We just never looked like scoring. And you look at the bench and you think, we're losing 1-0, it's 20 minutes to go, who am I going to bring on? Aidan Denham, Gary Mackay-Steven, Connor
what
Smith.
What was you and bloody Henderson?
You and Henderson. I think Connor Smith could be a good player. He looks good when he comes on, he looks confident. Yeah. There's players on there that might be good whenever, but there's nobody there who's going to make an impact.
Mm-hmm. No, I was when Ewan Henderson came on. So it was a double substitution, and he was like, it was slow. And I was on my feet clapping, and now suddenly realised I was like the last person on my feet in the entire wheat field waiting to clap Henderson. Yeah, he barely had a touch of the ball. Barely touched it.
Aye.
I've seen a good point raised. What do you think of this? So we were complaining post-split last year, which we've barely won a game since post-split competitively.
Sorry, 3-14, I think, since... Yeah. Is it the Hibs semi-final?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah, since the semi. Someone raised the point, maybe if we started bleeding in some of the younger players post-split, your Finlay Pollocks, your I don't know, you know, there was players out on loan, but you know what I mean, other players, Connor Smith, sure, Ewan Henderson's, maybe if we bled them in and they became more integral squad players at that point, they'd be sharper, they'd be more confident, and they'd be more ready to come in now at this stage of this season.
There's an argument to be made that, yeah, cool, they could have been put in the squad and they could have handled that pressure of playing the top five other teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an argument that they don't handle that pressure and it actually sets them back in their development. You never know. You never know how these players are going to react, and you've got to trust. Ready for the sentence? You've got to trust that Robbie Nielsen knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree, and he'll know better than us at the end of the day. But it just felt so pointless. You had Barry Mackay playing week in, week out, like a lot of minutes with his foot heavily off the gas, where you could have been given Finlay Pollock 30 minutes a game or something.
Definitely.
Bizarre to me.
I think what this, especially for me, I'm not sure if yous are the same, this, the last two sort of losses that we've had, the Kelly game and the Livy game, it's really kind of brought to light how bad a form we've been in. I was obviously aware of us not winning a game in the league post-split, all that crap. Or did we win one, sorry?
We've won three, because we beat St Johnstone there. We beat Dundee United.
No. Post the split last year, sorry.
Well, yeah, beat St Johnstone the other week, Dundee United.
No, and just to the end of last
just
season.
Just the five games just the five after games. The split.
Doesn't even matter. Games. Right. But what it has done is it has highlighted how bad the form has been, for me anyway. I didn't really realise it was so bad.
Yeah. That's dreadful. And you've got to think as well, I can understand why Nielsen rotated the squad and the foot was all off the gas and all that post-split. It was all leading up to the cup final. We've been there before. But at the end of
which
the day...
Which worked well for us.
At the end of the day, it's a football club and you've got to keep a winning mentality. You know what I mean? You've basically chucked a whole winning culture out the window if that was the attitude going into those five final games.
Yeah, I think that is really important as well. Those games didn't actually matter. Like, we were third either way, but it's about the mentality, is it? And yeah. I think that showed in the how off it we were in the final.
Yeah, well, that's it. The final was a disaster. It's no other word for it than that. It really
it's, I think it's really hard to sort of turn that off and on. I think you've got to keep it on until the end of the season.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing for a final.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So just to go through them, we won the first one against Dundee United, we then drew and then we lost the next three and then obviously lost the final as well.
Yeah, that's right, because we pumped Dundee United again.
3-2. Like
what was it, 3-2? I had in my head it was more. On the Kilmarnock game, one other thing on it, like clearly miles off it physically. A very well-organised team, Kilmarnock, to be fair to them. Derek McInnes is no mug. But with that way the game's going, we had opportunities and pockets of space outside the box. But not only are we lacking in physicality and height, we're also not getting any shots away on goal from outside the box, or the edge of the box.
I mean, against Kelly, all our shots were sort of from that area because we couldn't get past those defenders. So everyone we took was just blocked instantly because they just packed the box. We'd run out of ideas. We'd cross it in, they'd clear it. We couldn't get anything in behind because they were so deep. Mm-hmm. So we just shoot for the edge of the box into about eight bodies. That's all we did.
Yeah, lots and lots of blocks. It was Just felt it did feel like we were scared to pull the trigger when there was opportunities, and when we did, it was all the wrong times.
Aye,
it was just a disaster.
So many times you wanted them to shoot, and aye.
Mm-hmm. Aye, there really is no positives to take from Wednesday night. The only positive I had in my head was that Robbie Nielsen post match said, "Well, it's clear to see that we need to strengthen the squad." So he's clearly not got his wishes going into the last 48 hours of deadline day, or the window, I should say.
Yep.
What do you say, Hammy, about this whole fatigue thing? Nielsen raising that the players are fatigued 9 games into the season.
I think it is another in a long line of just poor excuses, when in reality he just needs to take accountability and say, you know what, I've maybe not played the right team here, I've maybe not played the strongest team, I've maybe not made the right subs, etc, etc. But I will come back to this comment.
All right,
and let you know some other fans' thoughts.
Understood. Why don't we just quickly run through the Livingston game now as well, because it's much a similar conversation as the Kilmarnock one, isn't it? It was the exact same game script, really, that we had even less chance of scoring against another bog standard but well organised football team, basically, Simon.
Aye. It doesn't seem to take much to shut this Tartars team down right now. We've not kept a clean sheet, so you know that we're going to give you a chance. Feel a bit sorry for the flack that Stephen Humphreys has been getting, because what has he had at most? A day's training with the squad?
Yeah, I think it was one day.
Aye. So to come in and to try and perform, especially in your debut. Unforgiving.
Away at Livy on that pitch.
Oh, aye. Awful. But when you're playing a back four of Sibbick, Lewis Nielsen, Stephen Kingsley and Alex Cochran, I mean, it's not the best platform. The injuries have absolutely destroyed that defence. But I just think it's another example of the players, it's not that they look tired. They just don't. If they're tired, then they're not fit enough. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Because it's the very beginning of the season and they've really not played that many extra games.
I was reading earlier that there's no other club that's played more games than us. So they all had their sort of 4 group stage League Cup games. Mm-hmm. So they've, I think Livy have probably played more games than us.
Ridiculous.
And, you know, yeah. Again, we'll get on to this fatigue stuff, but our players do look like they're blowing at their arses at times, and it's concerning, because, like you say, we're very early into the season.
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with a friend of ours on Saturday night, saying about the fatigue. And sorry, Hammy, if again, you're going to cover this. But so I was saying, well, surely Nielsen's got to answer for that then. Well, he's the manager, you know, if the players are fatigued. And I know there's a squad size issue. But his point was, well, surely the fitness coach should be the one getting the flack and be getting the sack.
Listen, the buck stops at Robbie Nielsen. He is the manager of the club.
Yeah.
And that's why he's paid more than everyone else. If his fitness coach isn't doing a good enough job, well, guess what? Find a better fitness coach.
Aye,
I would never want to wish anyone out a job, but at like high-level sports, they know what the drill is, eh? If a player was playing shite, he would get replaced.
Yeah.
It's got to be the same for the coaches.
Exactly, that's it. It's not like the fitness coach would pull rank and tell Nielsen what the players are doing fitness-wise either. You know what I mean? It would all be agreed and instructed by Nielsen.
Yeah, no idea how it works.
Let's not go down there.
No idea how it works.
We're not going there.
If it is fatigue and all that, and I appreciate there's been injuries, but like you say, Hammy, we've not played that many games.
No.
And these players are going to be playing a lot more. So if you're fatigued now, you're just not fit enough. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And just to add up, we've not had one player who's played nine games this season as well. So we've played nine games, but no player has played nine games. I think Gordon and Cochrane are played eight, and the rest of them are seven or below. So
that is ridiculous.
That's interesting. Because I was thinking, is it because of the injuries and the players that we have are getting overplayed? Doesn't even sound like it's that.
Not well, like you're like to Lewis Nielsen, I think I've only got like three appearances or something. Yeah. Kingsley's been out a few times as well. Mm-hmm. Barry McKay, I think, has played seven games, but he's looked
is, it, is the season not only like 6 weeks old or something like that? Seven games in 6 weeks?
So we started at the very end of July, so we've had all of all, about 6 weeks, I think.
Let's get a grip. I know people who play amateur football even lower than that who play more games than that, yeah. And they never complain about being tired. They also have a job.
are we really at a stage where we're needing to rotate a team every game? Like, nope. Really? That's just, I think all the tinkering is having a really negative effect as well. And yes. I can't see we need to be doing it.
Exactly. It's like someone needs to give the players a good fucking shake and remind them that this is just football. You know what I mean? What a fucking luxury if you're just having to play one game of football a week.
I appreciate there's different pressures. It's like a world that we'll never know. But come on. Come on.
Back in my day, used to play a game on a Saturday and on a Sunday.
After being out all night on the Friday.
On the Friday night. Sweating Strongbow. But yeah, all enough. I mean, I can barely wrote down a note for this game because it's just an absolute shambles. But George Grant had a chance very early on, blasted it wide. I actually think he thought he was offside. He seemed to absolutely squander it. Yeah, the Livy goal. Am I right? Would you say Humphreys was to blame? Keeping the... He could basically played...
He needs to get out of there.
Yeah, but again, that's a training issue. If he's only trained once, he's not going to have covered the defensive shape for an indirect free kick, you know, for hours. Right. Can't be to blame for that. He has been heavily, heavily criticised for his general performance. Far too early to judge him properly, though, isn't it?
Agreed, aye.
Yeah, I think that's all we can say because there's nothing else positive, however, to say at the moment.
Right. Well, it brings us to the conversation about what we're thinking with Nielsen Jarvie.
Well, we're just a bit there. I was just going to say as well, Isma, or former Hearts fame, missed an absolute sitter in that game. Pretty much an open goal. So at least he's not at the Hearts. But yeah, kick back, Hammy. Let's go to you. No doubt this will create some Nielsen debate along with that. Catch a feel for the general atmosphere in Corgi.
Back away and don't talk a lot of shite.
You are correct, Jarvie. It was spicy, shall we say. I think I drunkenly took a screenshot of a thread that said something like our manager is a loser or something. That was the feeling on Saturday night. I couldn't find that, so I think it got deleted. But, or merged with the general we are shite thread. So more thinking about Robbie Nielsen's excuses and his mentally fatigued comments. Someone says this is not a Robbie Out thread by any means, but mental fatigue. Get fucked. It's the first week of September. Get on with the job for fuck's sake. Enjoy it. Get the players to enjoy it and give it everything. Imagine Alex Ferguson telling Keane that he was mentally fatigued in September. Come on, for fuck's sake. Another one. I am not a Robbie hater or a Robbie out guy, but I am starting to find his excuses beyond pathetic and starting to annoy me a lot. No one says the fans are mentally fatigued watching his boring football, for fuck's sake, with some saying, to be honest, if I had to listen to Robbie every day, I'd have some serious mental fatigue too. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe it's not the games. Never mind the team having mental fatigue. I'm tired to death of this geezer's excuses for his own blatant shortcomings. Out his depth and should be out a job. Couldn't organise or motivate a piss up in a boozer if the beer was free. Please, Robbie, shove that bollocks right up your hairy hole. These overpaid primos have worked less than 20% of the season tasking and they are tired diddums. They get paid rockstar wages to make working men's dreams come true. We changed 7 players for Celtic game, 6 for the St. Johnstone game, 5 changes for the midweek game to from today, etc, etc, etc. What is this clown talking about? Besides, we are talking about a bunch of men who are being asked to kick a ball around a couple times a week at worst. Heaven help us all. Someone says, the terrifying thing is October, Fiorentina twice, Riga, Celtic and Rangers at home, along with away trips to Ross County, Aberdeen and Kilmarnock. If Nielsen thinks the players are fatigued now, God help us. Right now, we have a bunch of players that change every week, change formation and roles every week. How the feck are we meant to develop any consistency with that? Robbie needs to find his best 11 and play it every week. Stop fucking about. So, like just what we said. And to finish, I'm not a fan and never will be. He doesn't help himself with comments or his constant changes. I genuinely feel a more attacking-minded manager with a more positive attitude would benefit the team no end. Personally, I believe failure to get third this season should mean changes at the top, but sadly, it probably won't. So there was a lot of chat about where we're going to finish this season and if third, if he doesn't get third, should that mean changes are made? I did get the general feeling that people were getting annoyed, and I can sort of understand that it hasn't been good, even in the games that we have one, we've not looked overly convincing, and not having a clean sheet this season is a genuinely terrible stat. But I'm not quite, you know, higher on my plane yet. But there is, I do get a sense that people are
It's coming,
getting
isn't it?
There. I don't know how you feel about it.
It just feels like it's sort of heading towards the end as it did last time. Like, we're not in a terrible position in the league, but it's shit.
It's hard to quantify because when you're I speak to people in my work that aren't Hearts fans, and when they're looking from the outside in, they're like, are you joking? He got you third, he got you to the Scottish Cup final, he got you into Europa League, into the Conference League, yous are in Europe, yous are now joint third in the league. What are you talking about? The teams you've lost are Zurich and Celtic and Kelly and Livy and but when you're a fan, it's just, there's just an oddness about it. It just feels like we could be doing more. And I don't know if that's just because we're greedy or I feel like we could be doing more. I feel like it seems to be quite silly mistakes that are being made.
I'd agree. And I don't think it necessarily all sits on Robbie's shoulders as well.
No.
You know, obviously recruitment wise, you know, Savage is We praise Savage a lot, and the players he's brought in are good, but let's say we've not brought in enough there. And I think you said it earlier, Simon, we lost Boyce, Rose and Halkett whilst the transfer window was still open. We had time to replace them, and it's not been done, and that's obviously going to hinder us. But then, you know, you need to say, Robbie, then, like we said, why are we changing teams so much? Just play, like someone said, just play the strongest 11. It freaks me out. But I can see things. If we don't win, you know, the Istanbul game, I think it's going to be tough. If we don't win, if we don't beat St Mirren at the weekend, I think things will start to turn a bit because we could drop down a few places as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every player in that squad wants to play on Thursday rather than play on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the more important game really in terms of a genuine chance at 3 points is St Mirren.
Yeah.
Because of course, if we beat Istanbul, we get like £500,000.
Yeah.
Like that's obviously, but let's be honest, they play players like £30,000 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no bother. So let's just think about this. And then also, most of the team can play in both games. You can maybe change one or two, depending on what the squad's like. But I'm sure they can play Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah. Fucking sack the fitness coach.
poor person.
But just to pretty much agree with what you boys just said. I think it'd be outrageous to blame Nielsen at this stage. I think it would be wrong to blame any individual. I think every player in the squad needs to look at themselves. They need to up their level again. Currently, I mean, you're picking a couple of players that have been acceptable. You know, and I'd put Alex Cochrane and Lewis Nielsen in there. But even Shanklin's got to start pulling his weight. You know, where's the Shanklin from the first couple of games? Full of energy, the press, coming back, making tackles, bursting forward again on these counter-attacks. That's all petered out already. You know, he's leading the line for us. I know he's been getting scraps. Like, we haven't scored a goal in open play now for 6 games or something ridiculous like that.
And I appreciate they might be feeling the pressure and it might be difficult, but then that's the coaching staff's jobs to help with that. And then also, you're only at Hearts. Like, we're not expecting you to win every single game. Just don't get beat off, like, Kelly.
I know. You can't
just
be
don't get beat off Kelly. Livy.
Yeah, even under Levine, under Cathro, you'd be unhappy with defeats against Kelly and Livingston. Like, we should never be at that level.
Yeah, and we expect third because that's the benchmark this squad has set and it's been improved.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the players need to have a proper look at themselves here. Savage is probably the most protected person associated with the club. But he's got to take criticism for the lack of signings coming in. And I'm sure he was trying, but it all seemed very last minute. I cannot believe they never had tricks. He had some tricks up his sleeve there.
That annoyed me, waiting till the last minute. As we'd done it last season, and it did sort of work out for us, but we were pissing about in the League Cup, whereas this year we've knocked out the Europa League.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we went into this very slowly and hoped to get a couple of deals, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think we should be a lot more proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah,
we didn't sign anyone for like 4 weeks or something like
that. We've had all summer. We knew these games were coming, so
yeah.
You kind of then pull the whole we're tired when, like, fuck off, come on.
and we've not sold any strikers there. We had Boyce and Shanklin, but Sims went. We've always been another striker short. How did it get to that stage where Boyce got injured? Suddenly we had one striker and we've ended up with, to be honest, what looks like a panic signing and only one of them. I was expecting us to make 3, maybe even 4 signings on deadline day and 1 or 2 of them will be gambles. We've just ended up with one gamble by the looks of it, who we don't know much about and we've brought in. You're big enough. You're 6'1". You're quite stocky and you play up front. I guess that's what we need. Coming on loan, you know. But hopefully it turns it around, you know. Wigan fans do speak highly of them and they're a big club, so. Sorry, random. But listen, let's flip the switch here and let's be a bit more positive looking forward. And let's start off by going and listening to a message from our old friend Jolly at Sea.
Loyal people of Gorgie, this is Panama calling. I've heard through the local papers here, the Panama papers, in fact, that we were trounced again on Saturday in Livingston. Well, I'm not going to lie, lads. It's worrying times. The team seem to have hit some rough waters, as my mother used to say, you can pretend linoleum is solid oak flooring as long as you want, but at some point you'll slip coming out the bath. Anyway, I'm phoning to leave a message, so here's for the main event of the evening, the question you've all been waiting for. Would you rather be a Craig Gordon with Robbie Nielsen hands or a Robbie Nielsen with Craig Gordon feet? Answers on a post-it, please. All the best now. Send my love to the family. Moan the Hearts.
Wow. There you have it, boys. So what would you rather?
I'm pretty sure whatever choice I get, I don't want Gordon's feet. Especially lately as well, they have been very, very below average. So I'll go with the Nielsen feet and Craig Gordon hands.
That's the best of both.
Yeah, it would be. You'd be playing for bloody Barcelona.
Aye, so I'd rather be Craig Gordon with Robin Nielsen's hands. I think that's my choice. Because, Robbie was a defender, so you might have, you'd still have Craig Gordon's reflexes, just a bit of a, maybe a bit limper wrists and things. But Craig Gordon's feet are very below average.
So you know what? I've thought about this differently. When he says Craig Gordon's hands, I didn't mean like, I didn't think that you'd chop the hands off and replace them. I just thought like hands meant ability to save and feet meant like ability to play football. I didn't think you were chopping and switching.
Maybe I'm thinking about it too dark then.
Some Frankenstein's monster.
I've watched some weird shit this weekend.
Paddy, Jolly will demand an answer.
Nielsen's body and Gordon's hands, because then I get Nielsen's feet. I mean, I have to be Nielsen, which is
Paddy. You've done the exact same thing. I mean, the same mistake. You've just picked the best two. Oh, I'm really good at saving. I'm really good at football. It's Craig Gordon's hands and Robbie Nielsen's feet.
Paddy, if you had Nielsen's feet, would you just walk about stubbing your toes deliberately?
And then give them back to him. I'd take Craig Gordon's
hands. This has been the weirdest podcast we've ever done.
Right, looking ahead, fantastic news is that Craig Halkett is going to be back on Thursday, I believe. Probably good for 60 minutes of football, we hope, not just 5 minutes like we saw in Zurich.
Do you want to see him in the lineup?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think we've got our best chance of keeping a clean sheet this season just because Halkett's in, regardless of who it's against. Bloody love him and I miss him. And we need him. Have you seen the stats for, remember when Halkett was injured last season? And we like suddenly started losing games. He came back, then we started winning all the time again. And it's been the same this season.
He's been our best centre back since the start of last season.
Oh, easily. Right. We desperately need him back. And it's not been a negative podcast. We've been very realistic on this podcast. But I certainly hope if we get Halkett back, suddenly that back four shapes up again. You've got Halkett, Kingsley, Cochrane's in good form, right back, Michael Smith's looking okay when he's not injured, just got 90 minutes in him. But, you know, we can shape this up and turn it around again. We can do it. But, boys, will it start on Thursday night?
You're scarily positive, Javi. It's freaking me out a bit, actually.
We're playing in Europe, man. Let's be a wee bit positive. At least the last 5 minutes.
We're going to get absolutely leathered, pumped, destroyed.
I'm kind of glad it's an early kickoff, though. Like, it'd be quite nice to be home at like a normal time.
Is that your positive from this Thursday?
Because see, when you get home at like 11 o'clock at night, you're like, fucking hell, I've not even had dinner.
You eat about 2 kebab pies a game, Simon.
Yeah, that's not a that dinner. You've seen the size of me.
I'm personally looking forward to watching Cammy Devlin chasing Ozil about the park.
He won't be playing.
Why?
I think he is out.
He's that's only played really about sad. 13 minutes this season. I say about 30 minutes. I've checked. It's 30 minutes. 3 minutes in the last qualifier and I think 10 minutes in a league game or something.
I think the other main reason why he's not playing is they'll be putting their B team out against us. So
surely that can only be good news for us.
They still have Bertrand Traore on the wing.
They'll have players we've never heard of who would be our greatest player right now.
Oh, they've got that
nastier
Chadley as well.
Excellent. I saw that. Well, that's good, boys. Good to hear you are in high spirits for sure. Listen,
I'm obviously looking forward to it. I am very, it's going to be fun, eh? Like, we all know we're going to get pumped. Who cares? Because anything above that will be a result. Like, imagine how exciting it will be if we're like 0-0 and it's like the 89th minute. And we're just like, we just need to hold on and we've fucking got a point here.
Okay. On comes like, that would be glass.
Yeah.
On comes Ewan Henderson. He couldn't, could he?
Have his Tony Watt moment, but on a very small scale.
Listen, if we're going to get that 10 points for the group, we're going to have to beat either Istanbul or Florentina at Tynecastle. So let's go, baby. All guns blazing. I'm really excited to see like a proper elite level football team come and play at Tynecastle. This is what it's all about.
Yeah, it's always good to see that up close, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just hope, obviously, form's been terrible, but that in the atmosphere at Zurich was debatable, but it was still exciting. It was an exciting night, and I'm looking forward to hopefully a similar atmosphere this Thursday.
Aye. Keep up for the 90 minutes this time.
Yes. At the weekend on Sunday, we've got St Mirren again at Tynecastle, 3 o'clock. Is this going to be a turning off the tide week? Is it going to be the game that turns it all around?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll tell you what, let's go to buy ourselves, shall we? Because I'm sure it will be covered within there. Hammer, you've got the spreadsheets open for this one, I believe.
I just opened the spreadsheet because I like it to be a surprise. I'm a bit sad like that. But here we go. I was just looking at last week's scores. I'll quickly go through them. So, prediction, 2 Hearts wins in 90 minutes. Everyone, bar me, bought it. So, get it, Rangers. I can wear shite. 2 different keepers in 4 days. I was, I think, Jarvey, Twitter and Instagram all sold that. Everyone else bought it. I was actually surprised, but there you go. We just
bought one instead.
Yeah. 2 or more signings going on for that. We did make 2 signings, so everybody bought that apart from Twitter. He sold it, so.
Well done, Twitter. You're fucking right the way.
And a Ewan Henderson sighting on the pitch at any point this week. We saw him twice. So Paddy, Cameron, Twitter, Instagram bought that. Simon, Jarvey and myself sold it because we didn't think so. So Simon, 1 point this week. Jarvey, Paddy, Hammy, Cameron and Twitter all got 2 and Instagram got 3. So going on to this week, you want aid questions about games? Ha, good luck. First question. Announcer to say Hearts of Midlothian again on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.
What was that?
The announcer to say Hearts of Midlothian again on Thursday.
Oh, fucking hell.
What's he doing, eh?
What the fuck is he doing?
Does he actually support Hearts or no?
How is no one around them going, here, you're a fucking idiot?
Maybe he thought it was like the 2 Riga teams and they're pretty much the same. And he thought it is Hearts of Midlothian.
Well, there is a Hearts of Oak in Ghana, isn't it?
That's quite a distance away to be making that mistake.
But what's he doing? It really fucking annoys me. Someone tweeted me and said, why don't you tell him? And I said, no, it should be someone at the fucking club. Should be pulling him up a bit. Sorry, I'm raging.
He does. I don't know what his name is, so I can't find him on Twitter, but I've seen him pop up a couple of times. Maybe folk are in the comment saying, fucking shut it.
Hope no. Hope he gets pulled up from McKinley.
Aye, I'll buy it.
So yeah. We're all buying it then. Cameron, he's not here, so he's buying it as well. This one, it doesn't say what game, so let's just go for the Istanbul game. Easy, Hearts to score.
Sell.
And Hearts to score in the Istanbul game. Paddy's selling. Sell. I'm also going to sell.
Yeah, I think I'll sell.
Well done, Cameron. You're buying that. So sell, 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 sell. Halkett to return on Thursday.
Sell.
Bye.
Sell.
Ooh. I'm also going to sell that because I think we would have seen him on the bench at the weekend there if he was going to come in.
Well, you should read articles by Barry Anderson.
No. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it was a Barry Anderson article where Benny was dancing about the showers, said Nielsen. So
that story grows arms and legs. All he said was he was in the showers. It's turned into dancing, falling.
He had a Bluetooth speaker blaring music, got the lads in, was flicking towels and that. That's what I read, I'm sure. And obviously, we've seen I've mentioned it quite a lot. We should probably get sponsored for this. Is September still the month for the kebab pie?
Bye.
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 Bye, bye, bye.
That's an easy point there, eh? That is an easy point there. They can, if they change and put in more work, it's actually just going to make it worse. Just keep it how it is, Hearts. We do not care. Keep the kebab pie.
Can you imagine the outrage if you couldn't get a kebab pie at Tynecastle?
I honestly think it would cause more chat than if Robbie Nielsen was fired.
I probably.
I agree. The overalls, I think this is up to date. If it's no, sorry. Simon, Jarvey, Paddy on 11, Instagram, Cameron and myself on 12, and Twitter on 13. 2 points in it.
So I would be joint second had they not taken a point off me asking the question.
Oh, Paddy.
Let it go, man.
Yeah, remember he also done us all by saying that there was pyro when, because the Zurich fans had pyro.
So
he would also be in last himself. If he hadn't done that, because he was the only one who got a point.
Cheat.
That is 100% a fix.
This podcast is an absolute farce.
This is a disgrace.
So I'll let him update you on the scores for next week, and good luck.
Aye. If he decides to turn up.
That's a good point.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for that, Hammy. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at hearts_podcast and play along with Buy or Sell. But yeah, join us next time as we look back on two historic victories over Istanbul, Başakşehir and St Mirren, and ahead to the first Hearts away jollies to Riga. We're not sure which Riga, we'll soon find out. And an away day to Motherwell. So, another big week. But yeah, if you enjoy the show, do leave us a generous star rating, whatever you're listening on. And have a nice week. Come on, the Hearts. Goodbye.